Hey kids, this is Aaron from the podcast that wouldn't die, and Kevin and I use Zencastr. You think you're better than us, that you're using something else? You're wrong. Zencastr's the place to be. Who are you to deny it?
It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code DIEHARD and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time for you to share your story.
Only a fool would give up a chance for a 30% discount.
Hey, this is David from the Piecing It Together podcast, a podcast about movies and the movies that inspire them. For over 4 years, each week, a guest and I take a look at a new movie through the lens of what other movies we think were either an influence or connect in some other way. It's a fun, unique way to discuss films that leads to a great list of other movies to check out that either explore the same themes and ideas or maybe utilize similar filmmaking techniques. Including special episodes in our side series that twist the format, we've done over 200 episodes, so there's bound to be one on a film you've been thinking about and want to dig deeper into. So check us out on all the major podcasting apps and at piecingpod.com.
Breaking out!
She escaped?
We have a serious emergency on our hands.
I want a team to track her. Hunt her down.
You created a monster. Now you want us to kill it.
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
How do?
This week, we're discussing the horror science fiction classic Species, starring Natasha Henstridge, Sir Ben Kingsley, Forrest Whitaker, Michael Madsen. Who else? There's 100 people in this. Alfred Molina.
They just grab a handful of famous actors and throw it against the wall and just see what's stuck. And see Alfred Molina, I think he had an eating disorder at this point because nowhere else in his career is he so thin.
So thin, and yet his teeth are just as horrific. Just well, as god-awful.
They stand out more. They stand out more.
Absolutely. I think this is the movie I found out that Alfred Molina was actually British. I didn't know he was British prior to this movie.
Bro.
So there you go.
Come on.
When I think of Alfred Molina, originally, he was the guide in the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
That tries to steal Indiana's golden idol at the very beginning of the movie. So
that... And I remember him back in the old VHS days when I would get foreign films, Letter to Brezhnev, he was the Russian sailor, Enchanted April, he was the kind of cool husband who eventually finds his love. A lot of artsy films.
Good stuff.
Boogie Nights.
We just talked about Deep Blue Sea with Thomas Jane, also from Boogie Nights. So it's an all Boogie Nights bonanza.
I always forget that. He was good at that. Maybe yeah. With Alfred Molina, he was in scenes with.
Yep. Yeah, he was, absolutely. Each week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genre with a comedic twist. Aaron, how's it going with you? What's the latest?
Dude, I stayed up till like freaking midnight. I didn't even realize what time it was. So I almost missed our earlier podcast. I slept it. Because I was rewatching Deadwood. Ian McShane is
Dynamite.
Just a marvel. Just a marvel to watch. He is, if he's in any scene, even if he's rolling his eyes, he steals the entire scene.
Absolutely. He's a damn treasure. No question.
I remember watching Game of Thrones, and it was when the Hound was out wandering after he told the king to fuck off. And all of a sudden, there's a cult. I'm like, is that fucking Ian McShane? Stole it from the Hound, and that's hard to do.
Yep. He's like in two episodes or something. Really short, like just that, pops in. Like, yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff had by all. So what else is going on other than Ian McShane? That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. My goal was to not leave the house for the weekend nor bathe or anything else. Just stew in my juice and relax.
Well, by the time you guys listen to this, the Oscars will have been a distant memory. But my wife and I are still trying to watch. We have two more movies to watch of the Best Picture nominees.
Which are what?
It is a South Korean film called Past Lives. And it is a German film called Zone of Interest, which takes place during World War II. So
that sounds depressing as f***. Yeah, I watched Poor Things is the only one I watched, which was amazing, although very uncomfortable and problematic at the beginning.
It's yes. I was talking to somebody about this. We saw Poor Things a few weeks ago.
I mean, what's his name? Hulk's character is Humbert Humbert.
Oh, no question. Well, and the thing about it is, I was talking to, like, you know, the ticket taker. She's like, people usually leave after the first 15 minutes is what she said when we first sat it. And in those, by the 15 minute mark, I'm like, oh shit, what am I in for? Cause it was the scene where she's like stabbing the corpse's eyes. I'm like, oh my God, I think we may be in trouble, but it's never that horrible again. It's as long as you're cool with just nonstop porny sex for the rest of the movie.
But it's an amazing film. I mean, it's visually stunning.
It's funny.
I kept trying to Google, are her eyes... I don't remember her eyes being so giant. I was like Googling, did they make her eyes bigger? And I couldn't find anything about that.
That's just how
but
she
everything
looks.
But everything shot like a fisheye. I mean, it is spectacular. If you get past the first 50 minutes...
We enjoyed, exactly. If we enjoyed that, it's weird. Make no mistake. It is weird and porny. We also enjoyed American Fiction. We thought that was fun. Funny as well. Had social commentary, but there was a lot of good stuff to it. There are other movies that are like heralded that I didn't really care for. I didn't really care about Maestro. I found it kind of, you know, when they make the movies where it's like Oscar bait. I don't like blatant Oscar bait kind of movies. And that's kind of what I see when I see Maestro. But you know, and then Oppenheimer was good and I enjoyed Barbie.
I didn't care for Barbie, quite frankly.
You didn't like the politics?
I didn't like the politics. I thought it was stupid. I just thought it was stupid. I was like, really? Everybody just men were oppressed in the Barbie world. I mean,
yes.
I it was just not my vibe at all. I'm like, I don't care. You want to watch this, but I'll never watch it again.
You know what?
Fuck is the hype all about?
This is what I think I was telling Becky this. It's like, I enjoyed Barbie quite a bit. Now, is it best picture quality? I would not necessarily say so. You know, every now and again, you get a movie that gets kind of like, you know, it's a cultural phenomenon. And maybe that's something. Maybe they should be more of those kind of movies that make it into the final 10. It shouldn't always be like, well, I have these three movies that I have to watch and it's homework. You know what I mean? It should be like, here are some popular films that make it to, you know, best picture consideration.
I don't like all these minority empowerment.
You're against
movies.
That. You hate the empowerment of minorities.
It feels like bait. It does feel like bait. I remember people going on and on about Wonder Woman and quite frankly, Black Panther. And I'm like, I don't give a shit.
I enjoyed Wonder Woman a lot. I thought Black Panther was overrated. Truly.
I thought Wonder Woman was overrated. I'm like,
disagree. Hard disagree.
They're like, oh, well, but I'm like, f*** this. This is not my vibe at all.
Anyway, so that's good to know. Why don't you guess?
And I'll never see f***ing Oppenheimer. That looks like shit. That is not up my
It's good.
Line at all.
It's good. It's just a little bit long, which is, you know, Killers of the Flower Moon is long. I'm not sure how good it is. Yeah. Anywho, that's my opinion. Hard pass.
I'm not wasting any time. I'm only seeing things that people that I respect their opinion then tell me it's fantastic.
Fair enough. Especially if you're putting in 3.5 hours into seeing some of these things.
I got to leave my house. I got to buy a $14 popcorn. Yep. I got to rally the troops. I mean, I've gone to movies with other people just because they wanted someone to go with, fully prepared to just fall asleep in a popcorn coma and stayed awake and was surprised. But that doesn't happen often.
We have the movie passes. So we basically go to the movies every weekend. We're like, we're going tomorrow. What's playing at a time we want to go? So we wind up seeing freaking everything nowadays. We saw The Beekeeper with Jason Statham. We saw Lisa Frankenstein. We see it all.
I mean, that's where we're at now. I love Jason Statham. I think he's sexy. But unless you go to movies, you don't know what the movies are.
Yeah, oftentimes that's true.
Because I don't watch regular terrestrial TV. I mean, I'm paying for it, but I don't normally watch it.
My children don't know what commercials are. And when they're confronted with one, they're outraged. If they see one 30-second commercial, they can't freaking stand it. They're immediately like, what the? What is this?
Our cousin Heather flies into a rage when I'm listening to the free Spotify and an ad.
Yes. That's what my kids do as well. They're like, you need to turn off that app, restart it to skip. I'm like, and hit a tree while we're doing this? Is that the plan? Or we can just live with a 30-second.
I have too many subscriptions. I cannot pay for the Sirius in my car and then pay for Spotify. It's too much.
I understand. Why don't you give us your 30-second synopsis of Species, which has nothing to do with any of this stuff.
It has nothing to do with any of this stuff. It's the origin of the alien queen, I guess. It's the same old shit. During this time, you threw in some Geiger images.
Yeah.
Sexy aliens that everyone wants to F, but it all works out badly. And Clearly. Of course, the aliens are loose. I mean, this is first contact with the alien queen, right?
Seems like it.
Seems like it. It looks just like it with some Rasta braids in the back.
Now, do you remember, is this the first time you've ever seen this movie?
Yes, but it's very similar to that other movie with, it's also like an alien that wants to F everybody, but they're like a mantis. Oh, fuck, who knows?
They're praying all the mantis?
They were like in a farmhouse. Oh, they want to destroy it, so they take it home, like a husband and wife take it home, and it ends up wanting to have sex with the husband.
I have no idea what movie you're talking about. Splice. Oh, okay. Yes. I never saw Splice, but yeah, I remember seeing ads for it. It does seem very similar to that.
It's nice that all the aliens are sexy ladies.
That is,
it's never like a well-built dude with a big schlong. It's always like a supermodel.
No, that's a good thing. which is kind of ridiculous. If you think you want to, now, if you want to get crazy, there was a movie called Humanoids of the Deep, where it was scary kind of mermen coming up to impregnate women everywhere to make them give birth to mutant fish babies. It would make sense that if you're an alien race... Coming down.
I've not seen this.
We need to talk about it. It's from the 80s. It would make sense if you're an alien race coming down to like spread your seed that you would be a male of the species so you could scatter your seed to the four winds rather than you have sex with one dude and then slowly a baby is born. the pregnancy progresses however long that takes and then there's one more. Unless you have twins or something. Maybe that's
a thing. And who knew if an alien just sends us a string of DNA? I didn't know we could create our own DNA. I didn't know that there are scientists where I just type in a string and generic material squirts out the other end like a pasta.
They said that they got the radio. And I had to I watched this with Caleb. He was on his phone the entire time, so he probably doesn't even remember. They talked about how SETI, which is a real thing, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, sent out this messages out there into the ether. And then 20 years later, a message came back with the DNA strand and with instructions on how to combine the DNA. But they also said, we knew they were friendly because they gave us like the recipe for cold fusion. Or something, which we don't, you know, this movie just takes place in the modern day. There's not like, oh shit, now we have cold fusion. You know what I mean? Now we have limitless energy. It's still just regular Los Angeles or whatever it is. So who the hell knows?
So they're like, okay, so we'll just make some weird hybrid people. What could go wrong with that?
Absolutely. I saw this movie in the theater in the 90s, and I've talked about this before, that in the 70s through the 80s, pretty much most of the movies that you wanted to see as a young guy were R-rated because they all had nudity up the yin-yang. Just nonstop. Like, if you watch an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie in the 80s, there's nudity in it.
Right.
There was going to be nudity. If you watch a Stallone movie in the 80s, there's going to be nudity in it. So these are like, you know, if you wanted, RoboCop had nudity. Like, they all had nudity in it. It was like a kid with a new toy. We're going to have boobs in this. Prepare yourself. By the 90s, it felt like it had kind of like, okay, you know, we've been there. We've matured a little bit. We don't need to have boobs in every movie. So now you had PG-13 films that were action films. This is a throwback where it's like literally, it is almost shocking how much nudity is in this from the central character.
So I was expecting much worse. But actually,
it's not Poor Things. It's not Poor Things.
It's not Poor Things.
That's true.
It's just breasts and butts. Although I have never seen Alfred Molina having sex in a film.
It was shocking. So
that was a little bit shocking.
That was the most shocking. Yes.
I mean, good heavens.
Well, the other thing about this movie when I saw it is I was about the same age as Natasha Henstridge. So I was like just out of, you know, high school, or maybe I was like a senior in high school. And this was the point where you're like, oh, here is like a super foxy adult woman who's about my age. Where up to that point, I was used to, obviously, my peers were all very young. You know, I mean,
she
young-ish.
Was a supermodel, wasn't she? I don't know who she is, but clearly she looks like a supermodel.
Well, I think she was a model, but I don't know if she was famous, like a famous model.
I mean,
you know
she's
what I mean?
Clearly a model. I mean, no. She's 5'10", as they say in the movie. At least in the movie, they say she's 5'10".
Yes.
And just has that look. I mean, she is stunning.
Oh, she's a knockout. But she had that kind of thing, that quality. Like, if we go back to Life Force, if you remember that one, the alien vampires who are also, I'm going to be naked 95% of the time you see me, where it's that total knockout, total smoke show. But if you look at their face looks a little like alien-y. You know what I mean? There's something a little, not unattractive, obviously, still right. Beautiful, but something a little kind of, are you human? Is there what's going on? Because your eyes are a little bit too far apart, or you know, something along those lines. She, Natasha Henstridge, in this movie has that kind of unearthly quality as well. So I think that's kind of interesting. I don't know how interesting it is, but I enjoyed it. Why don't we jump right in to the highlights, if you will?
Aaron, what you got? I just have a comment.
Please.
So as she grows at certain developmental stages, she does and sometimes goes into a cocoon, sometimes she doesn't.
Yes.
I'm not really sure what's happening. I mean, did she have a cocoon from birth to whatever the 12-year-old was that
not
happened
clear.
In 5 minutes?
Not clear. At the beginning of the movie, they've decided to, because little Michelle Williams, Academy Award winner Michelle Williams, is in the cage and they're going to gas her. Because I don't know, they decided she's evil now. We've raised her to a 12-year-old, but now we're like, okay, cyanide gas it is. But you're right, there's never a moment where it's like, you know, every couple of months she crawls out of a cocoon or any shit. There's no reference to that at all until she's escaped and she's on the train.
Right.
And then the most horrific, wormy CGI squirts out of her body.
Yes, yes.
When they use the CGI, it is horrendous. It is awful. Especially the big climax where she's just like, I'm fully alien creature now. It is like the worst video game CGI you might ever encounter.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense. And then what's the point of combining the DNA only to have you slough off your skin when you give birth or something? What is that? Now you're full alien? Where's the human part?
This is confusing. It seems to be that when she feels threatened throughout the movie, then she kind of like becomes a scary alien creature. When she feels threatened. I thought it was.
How can she become an alien creature? And which of it is in her mind? It's like she dreams it and
yes,
visualizes it in her mind, but her body is human, except when she has tentacles coming out of her nips. I mean,
yes. She does have later in the movie, there are nipple tentacles that appear on the scene.
These are thoughts that men have.
Absolutely.
Women are not coming up with that shit.
H.R. Giger has these thoughts.
Even vaginas and tentacles in our nipples.
No question.
That's what men think about, ladies.
For openers. No question. She looks like a normal person. She has these horrible alien sex dreams that she's constantly seeing. But it's like almost like there is no cocoon that occurs. Like when she kills the girl in the bathroom of the nightclub who steals her potential mate, you see like an old scary like alien hand like punch through the wall and kind of kill her. But it's not like Natasha Henstridge is like, let me get into my cocoon first. I'm going to get into my cocoon and change into a crazy alien thing. Oh, I killed you. Now I'm going to go back into cocoon. And now
it's
I'm
like
hot.
It's like the Hulk smash.
It is. It's 100%. It's like, bam, I'm crazy alien. And bam, I'm hottie again. So, right. She went in the hot tub when she's about to get down with the homie from Top Gun. When she kind of senses that Michael Madsen's at the door. And then immediately like a weird tentacle comes out and kills that dude for no reason. The thing about this movie, we have to talk about this. I feel like up until the moment she kills the porter or the ticket taker or whatever on the train, we're supposed to be sympathetic to this little girl who's having bad dreams and is scared and doesn't know what's going on. Oh, and now I've killed somebody. And then it's suddenly a totally innocent, sympathetic person. I've killed you, broken your neck. And now I think it's like when she becomes Natasha Henstridge, now there's no more sympathy, right?
There's no more sympathy. But you wonder, this is like the kid from the Omen. If they had the proper upbringing, because she doesn't even know how to have sex, right? She's sensing
she figures
this.
It out
she
pretty
doesn't
well.
Know what's she figures it out eventually. But if maybe she wasn't raised in a cage, but you still have the primal drive. So I wonder at first if they had done some planning and had made a connection with the human, say, no kill.
Yes.
Give them a pet kitten, work your way up, teach them empathy. Although she seems to be born with superhuman intelligence and knowledge.
Right.
Like I watch a person drive a car once, I am now Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
She has all this presumed knowledge, but I don't know how to eat a banana. Were they not feeding her food or was it bars is all they gave her?
Only kind bars, absolutely. Well, again, to go back to like sympathy, is that when they decide to gas her, she's making eye contact with Sir Ben Kingsley, who's got like the lone tear coming down his cheek. I'm sorry. I'm sorry we're gassing you with cyanide or whatever it was. Yeah, it's...
But in the end, he was right. This is obviously something that is going to be out of our control. We're not going to be able to control it.
Well, and like you said, it's like, is this a little girl? I mean, I guess they say that her development is quick. So it's like when they're born, they're almost immediately like a 3-year-old. And then, you know, 2 months later, they're 12. And then later that afternoon, she's 25.
But when she's a model, she stops aging. So by the end of the movie, she should have been 85 years old.
Right. It's not like that movie.
She should have been an 80-year-old woman grinding on Alfred Molina. That's what we should have. The lady from The Shining in the bathroom. That's absolutely who should have been grinding.
It should have been like that Robin Williams movie, Jack. Where he's in junior high, or he's like elementary school, but he's a 45-year-old Robin Williams. That's what should have happened. No, but so We don't get the sense. Very quickly, we realize that she's not, even though she can talk and like has thoughts, she's basically an animal. She's an animal who has these primitive drives that she is incapable of controlling, essentially. Or she's not trying to. She's just like, I'm an animal, so I'm going to try to get pregnant.
Right. A dog doesn't reflect on whether it should kill something or, you know, shit on your floor. It's not sitting there going, maybe that wasn't a good idea.
100%.
She's just 100%. Doing what pops into her mind.
Instinct. Just pure instinct. Unbridled instinct is basically what it is.
Right.
So she escapes, and Ben Kingsley, who I'm assuming works for some kind of governmental organization, but they don't ask too many questions. He assembles a team where it's Marg Helgenberger from CSI, who is like a molecular biologist.
Right, doing her CSI thing.
Doing her CSI thing. We got Alfred Molina, who I think is like some kind of anthropologist. Is that his contribution?
He
something
was
along those lines.
Nothing to the show.
Except he also was trying to, you know, follow his instincts. Every time they're at some kind of public setting, he's like, maybe I can hook up with some ladies while we're here. We got a few minutes, don't we?
He's like, I'm all slim and trim. Now's the time. I got to lock these ladies
hair.
Down.
Yeah, he's ready. And then you got Forrest Whitaker, who they say, I'm an empath. I feel things strongly. And
he's more than an empath. Yeah. This is like Star Trek empath. I'm a psychic and I know where you are at all times.
Oh, it was ridiculous. They would show a photograph and he'd look at it and be like, oh, yes, she's very sad. She's sad. It's like, well, you can see the expression on her face.
She's frowning. She's frowning and there's a tear. You're amazing.
Right, exactly. He's not like Deanna Troi from Next Generation, where it's like, lay a hand on somebody. Oh, I feel your emotion. No. If I see a charcoal rendering of a figure, I'm like, oh, shit. Yes, I know exactly what's going on here. And then there's Michael Madsen, who basically...
Who's the Terminator.
Is the Terminator. He's basically, they don't send me here to bring people back alive. That's my Michael Madsen, by the way. So his gravelly Nick Nolte voice is basically what he brings to the table.
I love him. He is always so good. He's always him, but he's always perfect. He picks roles that
absolutely.
Are perfect for him.
Dynamite.
I mean, Kill Bill.
Oh, no love question. Him. He's great. He's great. What do we got here? They
Here's
said,
my
what?
Question.
Please, go for it.
This chick gets hit by a car.
Yes.
And her shoulder's broken. She got jacked up. But then, you know, she snaps it all back like the Terminator. But at the end of the film, she's running through steel walls. So why wouldn't that have broken her bone and then she had to heal from that?
These are important questions. We don't know. We don't fully know the answer to that. Although I will say, when she's in the hospital room and the doctor's looking at her shoulder going like, oh, yeah, it's broken in like 15 places. And then you see it start going under the skin. I was like, oh, my God. It was now granted, it wasn't like amazing CGI, but it was just enough of popping and snapping that I was like, oh, Jesus.
And then the bruise went away too.
And then the bruise went away. So that was kind of a cool
moment.
But
she didn't go on a melee killing spree at the hospital. She just casually walked out.
Well, they said she only kills.
Some control.
She only kills when she's threatened. Only kills when she's threatened.
They're painting a broad stroke with threatened. Like the chick in the bathroom who's talking to some dude. There was 500 other dudes in that bar.
It's and nice she didn't even wind up with that dude.
Up by rich dudes.
Right. She goes to the club in Hollywood and she talks to a guy for 15 seconds. And another chick jumps into the guy's arm saying, hey, sailor, why don't we get out of here? And she's going to be like, oh, I'm going to have to kill you because you're trying to steal. It's like they say it's like sexual competition because you're sexual competition for me. I'm going to murder you. And she murders him. Or murders the woman and then comes back and
in court.
Exactly. It's sexual competition. The dude is there and she doesn't even leave with that dude. She finds some other random guy with greasy hair and a big old blazer who attempts to date rape her. So, And again, we're kind of on her side at this point. This movie is so bizarre. Go ahead.
It was Promising Young Woman because it's the guy, it's the nice guy. According to all the guys, he's right. The nice guy.
Right.
She wouldn't be seen with a jerk.
Right.
Well, I guess not she was.
Michael Madsen goes like, she would have left with a nice guy, not a total asshole. It's like, what do you base
well,
that
no
on?
No one leaves with a total asshole. Hey, can you be more of a dick? That's making me hot. Let's go, brother.
Not a total asshole. But he is. She like, so the reveal is she goes back to this dude's apartment. Again, he lives in like a palatial mansion.
Yeah.
She essentially.
She only picks up rich assholes or rich right. guys.
She didn't put a move on freaking the valet Parker, right? No. She didn't pull yeah. a move on the guy busting the tables. She went to the guy who's driving a Beamer and drives her to
with
her.
Big lapels. Big lapels.
That was the look. That was the look. So he's ready to get down. She kind of leans close, but she can sense using her alien powers that he's a diabetic and therefore unsuitable for procreation.
He's a rapist diabetic. So now any diabetics that call me up, I'm going to be sus.
Now you're going to know. You're going to be wary. Absolutely.
I thought it was weird he put his pants back on and then told her to take her clothes off.
Yes. Well, he says, you know what? I'm kind of sweaty from that club. I'm going to take a shower. You can take yours later. Yeah, that's cool. I got to do my business. Don't come into the bathroom either.
I was like sussing like, you want her to bathe because she's like a dirty whore. Is that what it is? You want her to get a good scrub in there?
I mean, absolutely.
That was the implication.
I don't think that's out of line.
I was watching Deadwood till midnight, so everybody needs to clean that biz out.
No question. I don't know. He doesn't know her. Anyway, so the moment she's like, hey, on second thought, can you take me back to the club? He's like, huh? What you mean, honey? You knew what you came up here for. That immortal line.
Aye.
She's like, nah, but I don't want to. He's like, duly noted. Now take off your clothes, young lady, and give me some sugar. I'm paraphrasing. It was something along those lines.
I mean, he was a bad dude. He gets what he gets.
He gets what he gets. So that's what I'm saying. It's these moments where it's like, really, there's two moments where she kills a totally innocent person early in the movie, where I'm just like, oh, she's evil. But then later it kind of swings back where it's like, oh, I mean, are we sympathetic? Is she okay?
I don't think she's evil.
She's just an animal.
Is. I feel evil means you're doing this for a certain pleasure.
Right.
You're crazy. I mean, we're not talking about real evil. She is simply like a creature. If a lion is loose in the neighborhood
right.
and is eating, the lion is not evil. It's simply
agreed.
Doing what is its nature.
I think
now,
you're right.
Can it exist? No, it needs to die. And the government is stupid as usual.
Yes.
Because there's no way to contain this. So this creature needs to die, but it is not evil. I don't think it's evil.
No, I think that's clear, right? The only she kills the ticket taker for fear of being discovered, I guess. And then she kills the nice guy who is going to pay for her medical bills. Right. that was kind of a funny scene. He gets in the jacuzzi wearing his trunks. She's bone naked. Of course she is. And immediately he's just like pulling down his pants. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
He's the opposite of the last guy.
Yes. Slow it down. How about a glass of wine, sugar? What's the rush?
Exactly.
How about I put some music, light a few candles? What the hell? Yeah.
I mean, honestly, she could have just ignored all these people and just gone somewhere else.
Yeah, well, she didn't have to kill that. She could have just bounced. She could have left the dude in the jacuzzi going, what the f***? And then just ran off into the swamp behind his house, which is what she did anyway. So who's
because
to say?
Because there's a lot of swamps in L.A. also.
It's the L.A. swamp.
Swamps. The L.A.
We don't talk about it. We don't talk about
it. The L.A. gators that emerge from the sewers.
You better believe it.
The gateway to the Chud.
It's the gateway to the Chud. I have to go back to this. When she's in the hospital and she's laying in the bed and her shoulder's popping back into place and the doctor's like stupefied, a nurse runs in and says, doctor, we need you. There's a child burn victim who needs you right now. I thought that was very, very specific. Very specific for, well, I'm still working with this woman's broken clavicle. No. We have, not just a burn victim, sir. A child burn victim. Just to be clear, this is an emergency. Ignore what you just saw. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. Later in the movie, there is a convoluted moment where now we know she's totally evil or not. She kidnaps that poor woman, ties her to a bed, cuts off her thumb.
Yeah.
And basically makes it so that her pursuers think she died in a fiery crash, because they literally found the species woman cuts off her thumb and it promptly grows back, and she just kind of tosses it in the car for them
and
to discover.
That's all they find. That's all they test.
That's correct.
Jacked up old thumb versus a giant human body.
There's a corpse. There's a full corpse.
How do you find the thumb in all of that? And the fact that the other person is tied up in the passenger seat.
Correct. Tied up in the passenger seat, burned to death. Here is a totally unburned thumb that's clearly just been surgically snipped. It wasn't like in my car accident, my thumb was ripped off. As often happens.
I've been on many car accidents and my thumb always gets ripped off.
Constantly.
Always.
Constant thumb rippage. We don't talk about that often as
luckily
we should.
Luckily, I'm part alien and it grew right back.
Just grew, snapped right back. So they're kind of like, oh, I guess our job is done. And they go back to the hotel bar and they're like, you know what? I'm in the mood for love. So you got Mark Helgenberger and Michael Madsen immediately like, let's do this. And evidently, and I looked into this up in the notes, I'm spilling the beans here, they improvised their sex scene. There was no, intimacy person in there helping out. And literally there's a scene, he's laying on his bed with his shirt off and she's pulling his pants off and she's all, get up. And she like sidles up to him on her knees to clearly give him a hummer. It's like, I don't know if we need this level of specificity in the sex scene, but okay. It's the 90s, I guess. Good times.
Yeah.
Aaron is speechless. Good Lord.
It was ridiculous.
And poor Alfred Molina tries to have Forrest Whitaker be his wingman. And Forrest Whitaker's like, who is the most bizarre version of Forrest Whitaker you may ever see? Frankly,
it's not Crying Game Forrest Whitaker. It's not the Last King of Scotland Forrest Whitaker. Which one is it?
that is a question. He's making choices. He is making choices. And Alvin Molina's like, why don't we go hit on those chicks over there by the bar who are staring at us and laughing? And
pointing and laughing.
And he rolls up, and Forrest Whitaker's like, I'm out. Molina goes up solo. And it's just like, hey, ladies, how are we doing? I'm a cultural anthropologist from England. I'm here to explore some shit, if you know what I'm saying.
The mating rituals.
That's right.
The Angelinos.
No question. And of course, promptly, those girls' dates arrive. And he's just like, oh, shit, I guess I'm going back to my room to watch Spanktravision by myself. But luckily, he stumbles upon their species. She's in his room, and he gives the obligatory, what are you doing in my room? Why are you taking off your dress? I'm in. No further conversation needed.
Because this is how little they're paying attention. All you have to do is dye your hair, and men will no longer recognize you, ladies.
Correct.
Let's just put that out there. Dye your hair. If you're a blonde, dye your hair brown. Your mother will walk right by you, won't even know you.
Well, and speaking as somebody who likes brunettes, I'm attracted to brunettes. She definitely is about 20% less attractive after she dyes her hair.
Still very attractive.
Still very attractive. He's not, Alvin Molina's not
she
like,
hon. She went from a 10 to a 9.5.
Well, that's the thing. She is in the hotel because she's after Michael Madsen. She sensed his virility from across. She's like, I got to have some of that. So but she goes up there
for Alfred Molina's virility.
Yes, a lesser virility, if you will. Well, she's like lurking in the hall, I guess, ready to jump in at, you know, when they take a break. I don't know what her plan is, because she's like waiting at the door. They're clearly like having violent, vigorous sex. Like the door is like slamming, it's like banging on the walls, screams echoing through the halls. And she's like, I'm going to go next door into Alfred Molina's room. And I guess just listen. I don't know what her, again, what is her plan?
She's getting tips because she's not sure how to do this whole thing.
It's like,
she has to control the nipple tentacles.
She does.
How come there was nipple tentacles and like, I think she sodomized the dude in the hot tub or she reverse did. Sodomized.
She did something.
But then after just listening in to Michael Madsen, she figured it all out.
She's like, I got this. I got this now. And it just happens to be that Alfred Molina walks into the room. Just happens to. And then, so then there's literally a
Ben Kingsley. It could have been Spratly. Oh God, that would have been a whole different movie.
Sexy Beast. It would have been something else. So then there's literally a 10-minute kind of smash cut scene where it's like, here's Marg and Michael Madsen getting down over here. And here's Alfred Molina straddled by the strapping 19-year-old Natasha Henstridge back and forth. I'm like, it is literally Red Shoe Diaries going on in here. I'm like, what in the hell? And I always love it where it's like, we're having a sex scene and all I'm doing is putting my hands on your shoulders. You're on top of me because I can't touch any other part of your body because you'll probably slap me in real life because we're not, exactly. We're just actors. So there's a lot of shoulder play. I'll give you a back rub, honey, while you do your thing. Yeah, that's it. So this was, again, I'm giving you behind the scenes.
Sexy.
Oh, it was awful. Seeing Molina's O face, I could have done without. I could have done without.
Doc Ock. Clearly.
Absolutely, with his tentacles.
Oh my god! This is Species 9.
No,
it's
something. It's something. This was her first sex scene, which makes sense because she's literally 19 in this movie. And Alfred Molina said his last sex scene was 5 years earlier, and it was with another man. So because she was nervous.
Super awkward for all involved.
It was horrible. I hope they had a closed set that day. You don't want craft service guys sitting in the back.
What's going on?
What's going on back there? Frankly, being disgusted at Alfred Molina's. Look, I get it. He's got a dad bod, right? He's just an actor. I'm just trying to act.
In this film, he has the dad bod.
Yes. Generally, he's got an extra 30.
He lost all this weight for this role.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
He's never looked this good.
He's never been this trim ever.
And frankly, he ain't that trim here either, but let's be honest, it's a sad situation. Anyway, I like that he goes, what about protection? And she does not respond. He's like, okay, sounds good, moving on.
He's not gonna jinx this.
He doesn't want to force the issue at this stage of the game. And immediately afterwards, she goes, oh, I feel it. And of course, he goes into like an anthropological discussion. It's like, well, my dear, in many cultures, people feel that they can identify the exact moment of conception. And she's like, feel my stomach. And he's like, oh, shit, it's kicking. So, and that was it. And then she kills him. He would have been thrilled if she would have been like, you know, we could have snuggled afterwards. She murders him because like a praying mantis. Or the Black Widow.
Because only then, even though he's been staring at her this whole time, only then does he realize who she is.
Well, in his defense, she starts, like, weird fins start growing out of her back, and shit starts happening.
He can't see that. Yeah.
That is true. Good point. Oh, sweet Jesus. What else you got? Anything?
Oh, my God. I mean, how is it her babies are growing faster than she did? And how is it that childbirth, at least for her, is more painful than when she got hit by a car?
That's true. That's a good point. She, After killing Alfred Molina, everybody figures out, because thanks to Forrest Whitaker, he feels shit at the door. Frankly, yeah, if you're trying to get down in a hotel room, you don't want Forrest Whitaker like leaning against the door, listening and feeling things, doing his powers. Get him out of here. So they chase her down into the sewers beneath the Bonaventure Hotel or wherever the hell it is. And there's like catacombs. I mean, there's all sorts of shit down there, clearly.
LA's had no idea. Fascinating place.
Because she goes from conception, pregnancy, to birth in 10 minutes, yeah, maybe, and gives birth
and
to a toddler.
Maybe 6 or 7.
And then absolutely, all of a
sudden, the baby is also part frog.
It's he goes from being, I'm a frog boy, to a spider boy within a matter of moments.
Spider boy.
Because he eats.
And then later we earn, if you just eat part of the alien, you then become an alien. So really, all this was nonsense. She could have spent the whole day cutting off her thumb, watching it regrow, and then just sprinkled that in various homeless persons' breakfast burritos, and they could have had an army.
It's various, 100%. Well, we didn't even talk about the fact that while they were traveling the catacombs, they found like a reservoir of oil previously undiscovered that was there in the downtown LA. Who would have thought?
The fact that you would have smelt it long before you saw it.
Absolutely. So
a punch in the face.
That plays into the climax when it's the full-blown horrific CGI of this weird alien jumping around.
Yeah.
They light the oil on fire. There's flames. Forrest Whitaker's hanging on the ledge over the pit while Spider Boy is crawling towards him.
Yeah.
And they knock. First of all, they shoot the species woman into the fiery pit. But of course, she reaches up and is still alive, grabbing onto Forrest Whitaker's ankle. And Michael Madsen takes a grenade launcher and shoots her at point blank range with a grenade. It's a grenade launcher. It launches grenades. So having a grenade go off 3 feet from you, not a great plan. Not a good plan, to say the least, but it all works out. Forrest Whitaker lives. Marg Helgenberger survives. Michael Madsen is fine. So good times had by all. Except for the rat who eats some old tentacle, nipple tentacle, and turns into an alien rat thing.
It has to be the nipple tentacle, even though it's from a little boy. So
it squirts the tentacle out and starts to strangle. Was it Michael Madsen is getting strangled by a nipple tentacle? Ah, you're getting me with your nipples. Yes.
Who knew? It just took a headshot. They went through all this. All you had to do was shoot him in the head.
It's all it takes. Good times.
We're supposed to understand that species 2 and 3 are all about alien rats that live under the flaming oil pond under LA.
I feel like I saw species 2 once, and I think it's like an astronaut comes back, and now he's got a little bit of the species going on with him.
Wouldn't the DNA get diluted? Like her baby is going to be less alien than her. Then her little boy will be less and less and less and less.
I'm only 1/8 alien is what you're saying.
I'm
eventually
only 1/8 alien. I still have the nipple tentacles, but I don't have the spikes on my back.
Correct. Correct. I am alien 3 times once removed, right? That's what it is. So there was Alien 2, which was a theatrical thing. And then there was Alien 3, which there was like, I think the second one still had Michael Madsen, Natasha Henstridge, Marg Helgenberger.
Natasha Henstridge in it?
Because she's back. She survived something. I didn't write the shit, but she's on the posters.
They put one of those other frozen embryos on the microwave and brought her back.
Correct. They did something. They did something like that. But the third one is TV, maybe Sci-Fi Network. Who's to say? With none of the original cast, and I'm sure I never saw it. I said hard pass on the straight to streaming option. So no thanks.
What I don't understand is when they were trying to grow the original alien, it apparently is some kind of a lamprey, But when you mix it with a human DNA, then you're the alien queen.
Well, yes, we didn't talk about that.
You're a Geiger fever dream with tentacle nipples.
They had the embryo that they were going to implant in the lab just to see if they could figure out what the weaknesses are of this thing. And as they're poking the egg with the alien semen, or what, I don't know how they're doing it. The camera goes out. So she goes in with Michael Madsen to change the camera. And when they fix the camera, now it's a big old blob flopping around in there.
She needed his help, and yet all he did was hold the cover up.
Yes, it's important. It's important.
That was ridiculous.
So yes, it becomes a weird old floppy blob thing, and then a weird old it goes south quick. And of course, Ben Kingsley's like, I can't open up. I don't know what accent I'm doing. Sean Connery. I cannot open up the laboratory there because the weird species could get out. You already have one out. At this stage of the game, what does it matter? What's
more?
One more?
I mean, that is 2001. That is Alien. Yes. This is every movie. Follow the protocol, and everyone's always surprised. What?
What do you mean? I set the countdown, and you're all be
don't
burned.
Make a countdown. I'll be like, blast.
You'll all burn. You'll all burn to death in one if you cannot solve this in 1 minute. So, it's. Well, Forrest Whitaker and Alfred, open up the cage! Hurry! Ha! Forgive
Mark
him 5 seconds later.
Had a nipple tentacle with their dealings with Michael Madsen.
No question. No question. But again, he was content to burn them alive following protocol. When they escape, there's not a scene where he punches Ben Kingsley. Like, you could have burned. He's like, I hope you realize that I had no choice. And they're like okay,
Ben.
I forgive you. It's all good. Let's continue. No. Anyway, any last thoughts about Species?
I don't think so.
That'll do it. Good times. Yeah. Let's go behind the scenes, shall we? I spilled a lot of these behind the scenes, but I'm going to spill some more.
My only comment was I never went to cool clubs like the one she just happened to find that was recommended by the creepy dude at the Motel 6.
Well, who turns out to be just a normal dude. He's like, oh, hon, you forgot your credit card. I'm not a weirdo. No, it's those clubs where there's a line out the front and the bouncers are basically like filtering out who can come in. Only the hotties are allowed in. Everybody else can just sit outside all night.
Yeah.
Anyway, behind the scenes, H.R. Giger, we talked about how he basically designed all the aliens, all of the nightmare sequences he designed. And earlier in the movie, there's a weird nightmare train sequence.
Yeah.
That MGM was like, we're not doing that. That's going to cost too much money. And H.R. Giger spent his own money, $100,000, to film a, 30-second nightmare train sequence because
good visuals in this. There's a lot of good things to be said about this film
early in the movie. By the end it goes up in flames. Michael Madsen once claimed that this was one of the few movies he had done that he was proud of, but referred to the film's sequel as lousy and admitted he did it only for a paycheck. Boom.
One of the few, you mean like he wasn't proud of Reservoir Dogs?
Not proud of it.
Proud of all his Tarantino work?
Hated it.
Dude.
Only Species.
I love these dudes who can't recognize their good stuff and then piss on it.
They can't do it. Let's see. Director Roger Donaldson said in an interview that the first cut was over 2 hours and 7 minutes long and it had a different ending action sequence and battle with the Species woman. So there you go. They trimmed it down, to say the least. Good thinking.
They could have trimmed a little bit more, I think. But you're right. The beginning, the first half of the movie is so much better than the second half.
Oh, no question.
Then it just becomes like a chase thing.
Absolutely.
It's, you know what? It's Deep Blue Sea, where the creatures have to go and feel like they have to deal with everything instead of just bouncing and disappearing. She could have gone anywhere.
Oh, no question. Frank Welker, famous voice actor from like Scooby-Doo and the Transformers and things like that. He did all of the alien sound effects. Every time she kind of screeched and squawked, that was Frank Welker. So good times.
Okay. All right.
I said this earlier. Michael Madsen and Marg Helgenberger were allowed to improvise their sex scene. So that's good. That's always fun. In the commentary, Michael Madsen says Ben Kingsley was protective of his chair on set and didn't like anyone touching it.
Dude, Kingsley. That's a Curb Your Enthusiasm. Remember when he had his chair roped off?
Absolutely. Kingsley said Madsen would purposely do things to it, including dumping garbage on it and hanging it from a crane. Michael Madsen signed on immediately at the chance to play a heroic role for a change, because as we know, he's usually kind of a scummy villain.
Is he heroic? He's playing it like a guy who's just a paid assassin.
He is, but he's trying to kill the evil alien thing. So there you go.
All right.
So
I do think he's underutilized. I like Michael Madsen.
I generally enjoy his work as well. Michelle Williams, who played the young species woman, dislikes this movie due to the amount of bullying she received after it was released.
Oh, I bet.
Very upset, which is bizarre.
Because kids are monsters. Unless Ben Kingsley was bullying her. Is that what you're saying?
Ben Kingsley said, do not use my chair. Damn it.
Mark Helgenberger would push her down.
Spit on her. Pierce Brosnan was offered a part in this movie, but declined due to scheduling conflicts with GoldenEye.
Yeah, that was why.
That was it. Arnold Schwarzenegger was briefly interested in the script, but it was clear the budget wouldn't allow him. So there you go. The film's cast includes two Oscar winners and one Oscar nominee. Do you know who they are?
Alfred Molina.
Oh.
Ben Kingsley.
That's one.
And let me think. Not Michael Madsen.
Not Michael Madsen.
not crazy freaking Marg Helgenberger.
Not Marg Helgenberger. It's Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker. Last King of Scotland.
So those are the two winners. The Oscar nominee is Michelle Williams, who was nominated for, what the hell was she in?
It was Last King of Scotland that he won for, right?
Yes,
absolutely. It wasn't Crying Game, because he was more of a minor role in that.
And we all know what there is to know about The Crying Game. I messed up the lyric. What is it? I know all there is to know about The Crying Game. Let's talk about the cast and crew, shall we?
I have one complaint I forgot. I just noticed
in
my notes. At one point that when they're in the sewer, why are there air bubbles coming up? That is she farting? Or
she's
usually
farting.
When you're holding your breath, you're not just little tiny air bubbles escaping from.
She was decompressing.
I'm assuming she's a little bit gassy. And I do want to point out there is a Polaroid camera in this film. It is the Polaroid Extra AF, which I have, but they discontinued the film 5 years ago. But I still have some.
This movie was directed by Roger Donaldson. You know him from The World's Fastest Indian in 2005.
Never saw that.
No Way Out in 1987 with your friend Kevin Costner.
That. Yeah.
He directed Species. And he directed The Bounty in 1984 with Anthony Hopkins and Mel Gibson.
Passed.
As in Mutiny on the Bounty.
Yeah, kind of I got that. Mel Gibson.
Not a fan.
I mean, I liked Braveheart, and I did see that. What was the action thing where he always bared his butt?
Lethal Weapon.
I saw the first Lethal Weapon, and I remember enjoying that.
It's great. You can't go wrong. Let's talk about the cast. Natasha Henstridge played Syl, which is what they call the creepy alien species creature. You know her from Species, Ghosts of Mars, Species 2, and The Whole Nine Yards with Bruce Willis and the late, great Matthew Perry.
Okay, well, I think I've seen one of those.
She's Canadian. She's from, like, Newfoundland or something.
Newfoundland?
Yeah, you know it, don't you?
Newfoundland?
I call it Newfoundland.
Okay.
Michael Madsen You know him from Reservoir Dogs. He was in Kill Bill Volume 1. Mm-hmm. Donnie Brasco, which is an underrated mafia movie, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And he was Jimmy in Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, I never really liked Thelma and Louise. I want to share that with you.
They were both nominated for Best Actress.
That's nice.
And I think Gina Davis won.
And Gina Davis was married to Renny Harlin, who did Deep Blue Sea.
And married to other people.
Jeff Goldblum.
Correct. Ben Kingsley played Xavier Fitch. I swear I don't remember anybody ever saying his name in this movie.
No.
You know him from Sexy Beast in 2000. He was Mahatma Gandhi in Gandhi.
Yeah.
He was in Schindler's List in 1993. Yeah. He was in Iron Man 3 as Trevor Slattery.
Oh, that seems a big drop, doesn't it? Gandhi, Schindler's List, Wolverine 2. I mean, come on.
Alfred Molina played Dr. Steven Arden. You know him from such things as Spider-Man 2.
Oh, my God. Never saw it.
We talked about Dr. Octopus, for God's sake.
I know that he had that character, but I've never seen any of the Spider-Men.
He was Spider-Man. He was in Frida playing Diego Rivera.
Yes, I saw that. That was very good. He was in Enchanted April, Letter to Brezhnev.
He was
in
Boogie Nights.
Fantastic Boogie Nights. Raiders of the Lost Ark, the original and pure classic.
He was in Magnolia in 1999.
Oh my God, I love Magnolia so much.
The list goes on and on.
Who was he in Magnolia? I'm blanking out on him.
I don't remember. Oh, you know who he was? He was the guy who owned the electronics store that William H. Macy worked at.
All right.
Forrest Whitaker played Dan Smithson, which does not sound like a real name, by the way. They might have to take a second pass at that. Smithson? You know him from The Last King of Scotland?
Which, if you haven't seen, is amazing.
He was in Lee Daniels, The Butler. He was in Battlefield Earth with Travolta.
No. Oh, my God. Is he a Scientologist? Is that what that means?
Maybe. He was in Black Panther in 2018.
So here's an amusing story. So Last King of Scotland, he's playing Idi Amin. So
yes.
I had one of my good friends' brother worked for the oil company in Saudi Arabia. So when Idi Amin left Uganda, he went to Saudi Arabia, and he was talking about, he was in the Safeway, and here's coming towards him is Idi Amin and several of his wives.
Oh, geez.
Very weird.
I bet.
I'd be like,
go ahead.
That was a visual, people.
Marg Helgenberger, you know her from, she was in 263 episodes of CSI Crime Scene Investigation, playing CSI Catherine Willows.
She was in China Beach, and she was really good on that.
That was like
that
her
was
first
like a
big
Vietnam
claim to fame.
Soap opera.
With Dana Delaney, back in the 80s. She was in Aaron Brockovich in 2000. She played Dr. Laura Baker in Species in 1995. She was in Good Company in 2004 with Dennis Quaid and Topher Grace.
Don't know what that stuff is. Don't even care.
And finally, we've got Michelle Williams playing Young Syl, where she literally has no lines in this movie, interestingly enough. You know her from My Week with Marilyn in 2011 when she played Marilyn Monroe. She was in Blue Valentine in 2010, Manchester by the Sea in 2016. Nope. A lot of horrible relationship movies. That's always great. Lots of laughs. She was in Take This Waltz in 2011. And it does not mention it, but of course, to me, she'll always be on Dawson's Creek. That's where she got her big claim to fame, in my opinion.
And then she was married to Heath Ledger? Or
I don't know if they were married. And I think they had actually split up before he died. But they have a child together. So there you go. Let's talk about the ratings, shall we? Species currently has 42% rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you know what the audience gave it?
62.
31. Even worse. Even worse. Let's look at top critics, shall we? We've got Gene Siskel from the Chicago Tribune says, Roger Donaldson directs Species with a firm pace, and right up until the end, he is in control of a most satisfying summer film, 3 out of 4. Boom. That's a thumbs up. Roger Ebert, on the other hand, for every rare film like 2001 or Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That's what he's comparing this to. It's the Kubrick classic versus this.
With a sense of wonder about the vastness of creation, there are a dozen like this, which are basically just versions of Friday the 13th in which Jason is a bug-eyed monster. 2 out of 4. He gave it 2 out of 4. Siskel gave it 3 out of 4. And yet, their reviews are diametrically opposed. So that's one thumb up. Very sad. What is your rating, Aaron?
I would say that if the end was as strong as the beginning, I might have given this a 4. Because the dream sequences, all the Geiger stuff, and the fact that the character is not, it starts off as a more complex character. It's interesting. I have to say, I never picked up my phone.
Oh, good.
Because I just didn't know what was going to happen next.
Right. Which is what we want.
But because the end, it just becomes the Hollywood blah, blah, blah. The end just is a disappointment. I'm going to give it 3 nipple tentacles out of 5 wrapped around Michael Madsen.
I feel like I enjoyed this more when I saw it back in 95, if I'm being honest with you. I think
sometimes that happens.
It sometimes happens. I feel like it's a good, enjoyable film. Good enough. Let me say that. Good enough until they go in the sewers. The moment they're in the sewers,
it all falls apart.
It's just a chase.
It's nothing special.
Agreed. Go ahead and get your favorite beverage because I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. Weird nipple tentacles while you're trying to get in the hot tub and something's happening. So I would say check it out. I think you'll enjoy enough of it. And you definitely get to see a lot of nudity. Again, not Poor Things nudity, but you know, it's a little something, something. And then Bizarre Hotel.
You get to watch Alfred Molina having sex with a woman.
with a woman.
He's really just having sex there. He's just relaxing.
He's just on hands behind his back doing one of these moves. Absolutely. No question.
Just happy to be there.
Can you blame him? So that's kind of my feeling. So any last thoughts about Species, Aaron?
No, I will probably not think about it again because I keep thinking it's Subspecies.
And then I
kept thinking it was Split or Splice or whatever the because I'm not watching that again.
It's not Splice. It's not Mimic, which was another movie about weird creatures.
Oh, yeah, I think
creatures.
I saw that one, too. They're all, you got to be, it's never Roseanne who is the alien.
That would be a different film. See. Well, she's an alien in real life.
Roseanne Barr to be the alien who has to then go out and mate.
And good luck.
To, like, clubs in New York in the 70s. That's my dream.
Yes.
Alien queen.
And she's going home alone. Make no mistake. That would be a different movie. It would be a sad, depressing drama.
I mean, we'll have to watch my pretend movie to find out.
Tune in. So thank you very much. Go to our page on Facebook. We're on X. We're on Threads. We're on Blue Sky, TikTok, Instagram. The list goes on and on. We're on YouTube. You may be watching this. You may not be. Who's to say? You can email us, thepodcastthatwouldn'tdie@gmail.com. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. So don't forget to like, share, rate, and review, won't you?
Won't you?
Aaron, what is your social media situation?
I have much media. I'm on First Dibs and Artsy Aaron Doherty from my Polaroids. I am on the Instagram, The Cult of Aaron. Join the cult. I am also Don't Feed the Pigeon, but I haven't updated that in like a year. I don't know if they're going to shut me down.
They might.
I'm on Threads. I'm on X, but I check X only after TikTok has told me that I've been on too long. It took me a long time to realize those "are you tired of scrolling" were directed at me and directly related to the amount of time I was.
Take a break. You
it was
bastard.
Take a break. I was talking to someone else. It like took me like a month to figure out that was targeted towards me. That it TikTok was. Is judging the amount of time I've spent on there.
It's a personal attack. Truly.
It's a personal attack, you bastards.
So what we like to do is have questions, comments from our friends across social media. So talking about our chopping mall episode, we've got our friend Ben Burns 365 says, R2-D2's all like, "Hey, Dad, tell me about your first job." Good stuff. Sean Carroll says, "I watched it again recently. Very funny." Which I don't know if that's what it was going for. But again, it's Chopping Mall. Who's to say? Braylon Jane Vie.
It's freakishly popular for a movie I had never even heard of.
It is freakishly. 80s horror movies are crazy. LMAOO. Garm Interactive says, "Her head's gone, but still had a head on the floor." That's true. That's a question for their special effects department.
I think
department.
That's what got us blocked on the TikTok, by the by.
You may be right. Now, next week, we are doing the science fiction. I don't know if it's science fiction or not. It's definitely horror adjacent. We're doing the car racing movie. Is it a car racing movie? The Wraith! Starring Charlie Sheen, Nick Cassavetes, we got Charlene Fenn. Clint Howard is in this one looking freaky as all get out. You
looks
can
like
watch
Eraserhead's baby if it had grown up.
No question, no question. You can watch it on Roku, Stars if you have subscriptions, Hoopla, Tubi, Plex, Freevee, a lot of things with ads. If you don't mind
I'm
ads,
sure they're going to want to purchase it after watching it.
If you want to purchase it, you can get it for $7.99 on Apple TV or Vudu.
I just paid $4.99 to buy the Prestige.
If the choice is free or $7.99 for the Wraith, I think I'm taking free, if you know what I'm saying. So
you're not going to need to watch this again.
Oh, like ever this, again.
Sneak peek.
Ever again. So send in your favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions. Randy Quaid is in this as well. I almost forgot.
Young Aunt Randy Quaid.
Send in all that shit, and maybe we'll talk about it on the show. So thank you very much, and be well.
I say good day.